In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank the elders here, the session, for the invitation to open the Word of God with you tonight. And as we do that, let's turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. The fact that this is Psalm 31 and this is December 31 bears no real significance whatsoever. That all of God's Word is inspired, inerrant, and infallible and profitable to us. We pray by His grace. Psalm 31, I'll read verses 9 through 16. But our special focus, our text for the message tonight will be verse 15. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing before we come to the reading and preaching of His holy word. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank You that You are the God who has spoken and that we have Your word written, inspired by Your Holy Spirit, who carried along the holy men of old, so that what we have is not merely the words of men, but the Word of God, Your Word. It's true and trustworthy, and by Your grace and spirits, the words that are able to make us wise unto salvation and wise in our salvation. And we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would give us ears to hear it tonight. And You know us, You know our hearts. You know how each one of us needs to hear this word tonight. We pray, Lord, that by Your grace and in Your mercy, we would hear it along with conviction and with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance where that is needed, but also, Lord, encouragement and comfort. That we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and grow in our love for You, our love for one another, and in all ways be pleasing to You. Father, we thank You for this part of Your word, and we pray for Your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 31, it's on page 868 of the Bibles there in the seats. Psalm 31, beginning at verse 9, this is God's holy word. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let Your face shine on Your servant. Save me in Your unfailing love. That's as far as we'll read tonight in this part of God's holy word. Well, in a life filled with trouble and affliction, the psalm writer makes this confident claim. But as for me, I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hands. My times are in Your hands. You know, everyone in the world acknowledges what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, that there is a time for everything. Everyone who lives under the sun knows that life is filled with different times and seasons and experiences and circumstances of life. Even the rock group, the birds, could sing turn, turn, turn. They could sing those words from Ecclesiastes. But only the Christian, only the child of God, can say with confidence and with comfort about those times and seasons, my times are in your hands, O Lord. What time are you in right now? Boys and girls, even the little ones here among you, you're in a time in your life. And that time comes with all different experiences and situations that you are living out, that you're facing, just like big people. But what time are you in right now? How is that time affecting you? How is it bearing on your heart, your soul? You think of Ecclesiastes, is this a time of weeping or a time of laughing? Is it a time of mourning or a time of dancing? Well, no matter what the particulars of your situation may be tonight, we all need to hear this text from Psalm 31 clearly. My times are in your hands. Friends, what is clear according to Scripture is that all time and all times are in God's hand. Daniel 2:20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes times and the seasons." And that's as true of world powers and governments and leaders as it is about what happens to you in the ups and downs of your life every day. God is the eternally existing God who knows the end from the beginning and who orders all things according to His sovereign will. He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Every sense of time or times is under His control. It's in His hand. But the psalmist here speaks of more than just a bare intellectual acknowledgement that God is sovereign. He has a personal hope and a personal trust in God. He doesn't just say that times are in God's hand, though that would be true. He says, my times are in the hands of my God, the Lord, whom I trust. And this is the confession of the believing heart. This truth of our times being in the hand of our God that has been the anchor of the souls of the saints throughout the generations. Saints who have had to pass through many dark providences indeed. These have all echoed the psalmist's words, "My times, O Lord, are in your hands." Time of birth, times of joy or sorrow, of strength or weakness, of peace or affliction, the time of death, all in God's hands. And of course, we should be clear, whether or not you are a believer, your times are in God's hands. But is that a comfort to you? Is it your hope and your strength? What kind of relationship do you have with God that would affect what it means for you to be in the hand of the Almighty? For believers, there's great encouragement that the Scripture gives us to willingly and gladly, through Christ, see our times in God's hands. You know, as parents, we are very careful into whose hands we place our infant children, aren't we? We know that God's hands are almighty and they're sovereign and they're powerful. We wouldn't just put a child into the hands of another child who lacked the necessary strength to safely hold a baby. The child would be in danger. But strength, you see, is not the only criterion. There are many hands that possess strength that I still would not want my child to fall into. The hands of a villain might be strong but not safe. In addition to strength, the hands into which we place our children must be loving hands. Hands that will take care and concern for the well-being of the child. And when both those criteria of strength and love are present, it makes for a place of peace and safety. There must be strength and love. Love without strength would be no help, and strength without love would be no comfort. You see, those who have come to God in Christ know God to be their sovereign, loving, heavenly Father. Apart from Christ, we would be in the hands of the sovereign, powerful judge, whose strength, while just and good, must be exercised in holy judgment, because he's holy. Many people have been calling 2017 the year of reckoning. The year of reckoning. If you've been following some of those stories, how could you not be? The Weinstein stories that are all around us. The year of reckoning. People who thought what they did wasn't so bad, maybe, or people that thought it was so long ago. And then lives and careers destroyed as their sins find them out. The hashtag MeToo campaign that just is overwhelming in the prevalence of the sin. But you know, we all have a hashtag MeToo when it comes to committing sin. Jonathan Edwards' sermon was as true as it is unpopular these days. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And that's where many people are. Some of you may be here tonight. No matter how independent you think you are, no matter how indifferent or indignant you are about Christianity and Christ, there you are in the hand of your Creator and your Judge. Boys and girls, have you ever gone out into the garden or the forest and maybe found a little caterpillar or a little ant or something? You just hold it in your hand. And that creature is just there, and you could do anything you would want to that creature. How much more when we think of human beings in the hand of God? It's not a capricious hand. It's not a wicked hand. It's the holy hand. It's the sovereign hand. The Almighty Hand. It's the hand of the Judge. What a place to be. Jonathan Edwards says in that sermon, "Nothing between you and hell but the air. It is only the power and mere pleasure of God that holds you up." We have to think, if we're here tonight hearing these words, how patient and long-suffering is the hand of God. Let his kindness, which has preserved you to this very night, lead you to repentance and faith in Christ. Because the Bible says that in Christ we are at peace with God, and he at peace with us. That we are loved for Christ's sake. We need to think of Messiah Jesus, beloved by his Father, yet smitten and cursed by God's holy hand. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is the ultimate man of sorrows from verses 9 to 13 in our psalm. He's the one who became the utter contempt of his neighbor, the dread to his friends, the one from whom they hid their faces, they see me on the street and flee from me. I'm forgotten by them as though I were dead. I become like broken pottery. I hear the slander of many. That's Christ on the cross, ultimately, standing in the place of his people in love and mercy. So that through faith in Jesus, the hand of his Father that was against him in holy judgment is the hand in which we find ourselves. Our lives are safe in the hands of the one supreme in might, who loves his adopted children in the gospel as he loves his own son. Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and fearful at the times we live in. We look at the world or our own country and we can easily fear. And then we look at our own lives and we can easily worry and doubt. John Calvin said times here in verse 15 is in the plural to mark the variety of casualties by which the life of man is usually harassed. Hard providences can leave us disturbed or discouraged or deflected from our duty. It's a marvel, said Calvin, that although many things distress us all, scarcely one in 100 is so wise as to commit his life into God's hand. But here, in verses 14 and 15, we see the Christian's resolve, faith. And we see the Christian's marvelous reality. Our times are in God's hands, the hands of a loving, sovereign, heavenly Father. Charles Dickens in The Tale of Two Cities, everyone knows the first line. I've never read any further than that. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. But for those who know Christ, you see, even though we go through evil times, we are in God's hands. Christians know and experience this strange paradox that even what seems worst will work out for the best. He's working all things together for the good who love him and are called according to his purpose. The times serve God. And so the times must serve us as we serve and trust God. Our Savior reigns. It must be the best of times. He must continue to reign until all his enemies are destroyed. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It must be the best of times. All things are ordered for the benefit and growth of the church. It must be the best of times. Our Heavenly Father, who knows the number of the hairs on our head and by whose will not one sparrow, without God's will not one sparrow falls to the earth. The God who says he loves us and that we are much more valuable than they. It must be the best of times. Our great Savior has promised never to leave us or forsake us, and that no one will ever be able to snatch us out of his hands. It must be the best of times. Even what seems to be the worst of times must work together for all our ultimate good. The resolve of faith and the reality of being held in God's hand must bring about the glorious result of being delivered from all his and our enemies. And that's the last half of verse 15. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and sin. We'll hear more about that from Revelation 21 later. If you've ever read the life of John Newton and you think the times that he experienced, when he wrote about providence, he said, "Truly there is a God who judges the earth. And hence arises a solid confidence. The Christian sees that his concerns are in safe hands, and he need not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. While others live at an uncertainty, exposed to the impression of every new appearance, and like a ship in a storm without rudder or pilot, abandoned to the power of the winds and the waves. Think of Joseph. Think of Esther. Throughout the Bible, we see the wise, merciful, perfect providence of God. We see by faith the end of all things. But we see with our eyes the times that we're in. And unbelief comes in and just can't see how it can be this and then that. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ has been given all authority. The government is upon his shoulders. The King of saints is the King of nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. Not a sparrow falls to the ground, nor a hair falls from our head apart from his will. Our times are in his hands. Well, since this is true, how should we go forward? Because of the truth of verse 15, we should at all times say, even as Jesus said on the cross, we didn't read it, but look back at verse 5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit." After the evening meal on February 17, 1546, in the words of one historian, Martin Luther made his way upstairs and lay down to pray. The pain he was experiencing grew worse. Friends rubbed him with hot towels. He experienced a series of attacks and the doctors were summoned. After a few hours of sleep, Luther awakened in pain about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he repeated in Latin, Psalm 31, verse 5. "In manus tuas commendo spiritum meum." "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." One of his friends at the bedside asked, "Will you die steadfast in Christ and in the doctrine you have preached?" And Luther responded loudly enough for everyone in the room to hear, "Yeah." May that be our amen. "Into your hands I commit my spirit. My times are in your hands." Yeah. By daybreak, he was dead. Brothers and sisters, as we enter a new calendar year, let us all reaffirm our commitment to our God through Jesus Christ. Let us examine ourselves to see if our trust is really in him. And if it is, let us go into this year with the humble confidence of a believer in Christ, a humble confidence in our God, in whose hands we safely dwell. Let us pray. Lord God, give us ears to hear this part of your word. And through faith in Christ, help us to see that your sovereign hand is a hand of grace and mercy and love to your people. That will never leave or forsake. That will never break or crush. A bruised reed you will not break. And, oh Lord, when we hear this word, "Our times, my times are in your hand," each one of us, our minds and our hearts fill with what that word "times" means for us right here tonight. Lord, give us comfort in Christ. Give us courage and confidence in Christ. That our times are in your hand. That the times of our congregations are in your hands. that this world is in your hand. Lord, we pray that we would understand your truth, believe it, and embrace it, and live it out through faith in Christ in every good and gospel way that will bring glory to your name. We pray in the name of our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus. Amen.